Tess, today is a bit of a challenging daf. You know, whenever I encounter Suffolk and Vada and Rof, to me, I always like tune out because it's one of these big Shas topics. But these are one of the topics you have to just learn kind of slowly. Don't learn it so be'in unless you're comfortable with all the other areas of Shas, because Tosfos starts quoting the Gemara there and Chulin and the Gemara there and Ksubis. So it's very confusing, but if you just try to stay focused on the particular daf, I think it's manageable. So the mission begins on the daf, top of daf Tess here. Ein choshishin shema agira cholda b'bayis l'bayis, mimakum l'makum. The din is that after a person had done bedika, we're not choshish the moment you turn around and a little weasel came along and added some chametz to what you checked. Wherever you checked, you assume it's safe, it's a chazak, it's good, and no need to check over and over again, because the Mishnah says, d'im kein mechater lechater, u'me'ir le'ir ein ledavar sof. Otherwise, it's endless, because every single time you turn your corner, you're going to be constantly checking for chametz, and that's going to be way too much. So the Rabbeinu David, one of the Shonim on Pesach, asks the question, why does the Mishnah need to invoke the concept of ein ledavar sof, that otherwise is endless? We have to put a limit. He says, it's another reason, it's a svek sveika. The svek sveka here, the suffix whether or not the chulda was there, and the suffix whether or not the chulda may have eaten it. Who knows that there was chametz in the first place, and maybe the chulda never even came in the first place. So by suffix svek sveka, we say always lakula by an iser midiraisa. Kavachomer by an iser midirbana, chim midirbana, such as bedikas chametz, of course we shouldn't be concerned. So forget eila davar sof because it's endless, because it's svek sveka, whether or not there was chametz, and even there was chametz, the chulda may have taken it. Rabbeinu David says the whole premise of bedikas chametz was made on a svek sveka. That was the whole concept in the first place of being a svek sveka, because when you're checking this area, who knows there's chametz here? And even if there is a chametz, maybe a chulda came and took it away. And yet they still instituted bedikas chametz. So svek sveka was not really acknowledged when creating the takana of bedikas chametz. So that's why the Mishnah had to come along and say that the reason why we don't make you check every corner over and over again, because otherwise, ain't ledavar sof. Now Rashi points out something important here. The Mishnah says again, ain't choshishin, from field to field, we already learned the other day that there's no need to do bedika in chatz lechatzer. Why is the Mishnah saying, otherwise every chatz you have to check? You don't have to do a bedika in a chatzer. Remember, because the ravens came and ate it. So Rashi says, the last Rashi of the Mishnah here, I'm not reading the whole Rashi, but he says, v'lav chatzer mamishu, it's three narrow lines down, v'lav chatzer mamish kamar, ela kol batei chatzer, kari chatzer. That means all the houses of the chatzar, but the actual chatzar, you don't actually have to check. The Ran argues. The Ran says no. When the Gemara said that a chatzar you don't have to check because the ravens eat it, that's referring to the main part of the chatzar. But the cracks and crevices in the corners, the ravens can't get in the areas of the tiny corners somehow. The bushes or trees or walls, those areas actually do have to be checked. That's what the Mishnah here is referring to, according to the Ran. The Gemara now says Taima delo chazina deshakam. The only reason why we're not choshesh that a weasel came along and left some bread behind, because we didn't see the weasel. But the implication is, ha chazina, if we did see a weasel come along, the shaka that took some bread, chashinan ubay redika, we're choshesh that maybe he left some crumbs behind, and we would actually have to inspect the area. So the Gemara says, va'amai, why? Just because we saw a chulda walk in with some chametz, who knows that he left bread behind? We have a klal that a chulda seems to eat anything that's in its sight. It doesn't leave any crumbs behind. Where do we see this? Vamai, neima achelte. Maybe the weasel ate the entire piece of bread and all the crumbs. Milo tanan, don't we have a mission that says, maduro sa'akum timeim, that the living spaces of the goyim are tame. Why are they tame? Because if they had a nafel, so then a nafel is stillborn, they would bury underneath the houses, and that would be tumas ohel. We'll look in Rashi in just a moment. The kama yishe b'mader v'mader tarch bedika arba miyom. How long does a goy have to live in a house for us to be choshesh that maybe there's a nafil buried beneath it? 40 days. So v'afa pish ein lo isha, even though there's no woman there, even though the guy's a single man, we're choshesh that the goyim are involved in znus and he made impregnated a woman and she had a nafil and they buried it underneath the house. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi says mi lo tanan baseches olos maduros ha'ovde kochavim timeim. The living spaces, the houses of the goyim are tameh. Bipnesha kovrin niflam bibatem. They were buried stillborns in their house. Va'akum mitamin b'misasan afa b'ohel l'rabbanan. There's machlokas between Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, whether or not there's tumas ohel for a mace, a goy, that's mace. So Chachamim hold that there is tumas ohel, and even according to Rabbi Shimon Yochai Nami, who holds that there is no tumas ohel by a goy, damar kivrei ha'ovde kochavim enam mitamin by ohel, but bimaga umasa modehu delo imot el mitumas ohel. There's only exclusion of no tumas ohel by a goy, But there is tumas maga umasa. So there's certainly tuma in the houses of the goyim because they buried the stillborns there. So how long, again, do they have to live in this space for us to be choshesh? If they're there for 40 days or longer, because if they had a pregnancy was 40 days, then that's called a vlad. And then if it was a stillborn, you have to bury such a vlad. As opposed to if it was less than 40 days, if there was a stillborn under 40 days from conception, that would not be considered a vlad. That would not generate tumas olaf. So either way, that's the din. What does it have to do with a chulda? So if you look back in Rashi, the Gemara rather, the Gemara says, v'chol makom shechulda v'chazer yichol nahaloch, if a weasel or a type of pig is able to go to the houses, then we're not choshish of any nefa, because any nefa that would be there, the weasel or pig would eat. So we see that just because a chulda is able to access a place, they don't leave behind anything. So just like they eat the entire tumas mace of the nefil, so too any chametz that you might see, they eat everything as well. So there shouldn't be a chashash even if you do see a chulda. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, lo kasher, there is no contradiction, haba basar, haba lechem. There's a difference between flesh, meat, and bread. Bibasar lo mishayir, when it comes to flesh, which I guess weasels like more, they won't leave anything behind. They'll eat every little piece of the flesh. As opposed to lechem bread, mishayara, the piece of crumbs they'll ignore, and they'll leave that behind. So that's why there's a difference between the Mishnah of chametz and the Mishnah legabe tumas ohel. So Amar Rava, Rava says, hi, Mai, what exactly was this question in the first place? How could you compare the chulda by chametz and the chulda by the tumas meis? There's a big fundamental distinction. Bishma, I understand, hasam over there by the nefel, emer have, emer lo have. We don't know if the goy actually had a nefel. There's a suffix in the first place, whether there was a nefel. Vim tim salomer have, even if there was an nefel buried there, emer achalte, maybe a weasel ate it. So it's a suffix and a suffix. Aval hacha here, devade chazina de shakal, here by the case of chametz, where you certainly saw the chulda with chametz in its mouth, it's a case of vade iser, mi emer da achalte, and we don't know whether the chulda ate it or not, that's a case of a suffix now. Have a suffix vivade, ain't suffix mosi mi devade. In other words, the case of the tumas mace, that's only a suffix tum in the first place. And a suffix whether the weasel ate it. So a suffix can undo another suffix, that's fine. In the case of a chametz, there was vade chametz in the chulda's mouth. There's an iser vade chametz. Now maybe the chulda ate it, maybe the chulda didn't eat it, that's a suffix. The ain suffix motzi mi devadai. So that's why you can't compare it to the case of the maduras ha'akam. By there, it's certainly okay because it's a suffix, it's suffix. But here by the Mishnah, if you did see the chulda, then you would be choshesh, and the suffix ain suffix motzi mi devadai. So Gemara now challenges this last concept here halfway down the Amud. The ain suffix motzi mi devadai. We never have a case where a suffix can undo an iser vadai, where there's a vadai iser. The suffix says the iser is no longer there. That doesn't work. I'll bring you an example right now. The Gemara says where we do have a suffix that undoes a vadai iser. What's the case? V'hatani, the Brisa says chaver shemes. We saw this already a couple of days ago. A chaver tamun chacham that dies v'niach megura melea peros and leaves over a pile of fruit. Vafilu hein b'nei yoman, even though you know they were picked today, hare hein b'chezkas misukanim, we assume that they were fixed. In other words, chumas and maises were taken, even though they were freshly picked today, we assume that Talmud Chacham took care of his responsibility immediately. So this is the case, and even though he died and you can't ask him the question, so isn't this a case that they were vaday tevel, and suffik, whether or not he separated, and we could still say that suffik can moti midei vaday. So Gemara says, "V'ha'hacha devaday tevili hanipiri." They're certainly an iser tevel, and yet suffik muusarin, suffik lo muusarin, suffik whether or not he was mafish meiser, and yet we still see v'kaase suffik umotzi midevaday. So we see this cloud doesn't work. We don't say ain suffik motzi midevaday. We do say a suffik can undo a vaday. And the Gemara says, "No, this case is different." Hasim over there by the case of the chaver, by the chaver shemes, hasim vaday uvaday. It's vaday and vaday, meaning what? Vade was tevel, but also vade he took meiser. Why did vade take meiser? The vade masrei k'de Rabbi Chanina choza. Dam Rabbi Chanina choza chazak al chaver she'ein motzi mitachas yado davar she'ein mesukan. It's a chazaka. We have a well-established chazaka that a chaver will not leave this world without fulfilling his responsibilities. One of them is being mesukan meusar his peyrus, and therefore it's vaday he took meiser. It's a case of vaday, not a question to this klal of ain suffik motzi mide vaday. On today's old daf, the daf in practice, is actually interesting shaila I spoke by. I came across the Chacham Tzvi, the following shaila. The Chacham Tzvi said, a situation, a person asked him the following shaila. Let's say the guy, he ate a cookie and he drank some water. He's chayiv in al michya and he's chayiv in bari nefashos. Now he knows for sure that he did not say, let's try to get this correct, He knows for sure he did not say al michya, but he wasn't sure if he said bar nefashos. Okay, that was the case. He vada did not say al michya, but maybe he said bar nefashos. So he has to say al michya now, but does he have to say bar nefashos? So normally you would say safek brachas laka. Maybe he said it, maybe he didn't say bar nefashos, so don't say it. But the guy says he's always makbid to first say, whenever he has such a situation, al michya first, and then bar nefashos. That's the seder of the brachas. The bigger bracha, the more important bracha you say first. And that's what a chacham should do, and he always did that. So based on this, the chacham invoked his gemara. He says, since a chaver has a certain chazaka of always following the lacha, we assume that since he didn't say bar nefashos, and he always says bar nefashos after, sorry, he didn't say al michya, and he's not sure bar nefashos, since he didn't say al michya, he vadai did not say bar nefashos either, because he always goes in the right order of halacha, and therefore he paskin, he not only should say al michya, but he should also say bar nefashos. Even though it's savik brachos lahakel, the chazaka overrides this klal in this particular case when it comes to chazaka of a chaver. I just found there's an interesting raya of the Gemara Pesachim to this situation of hilchos brachos. Anyways, the Gemara says another explanation as to why the case of the chaver shemes is different than a classic case of ein safek motzi mide vadai. The first answer was, it's a case of vadai and vadai. Now the Gemara says, no, it's actually a case of safek and safek. Meaning, ibai seima safek and safek. Really, it was never chayv in tevel in the first place. Maybe in the first place, it was only a safek tevel. How could it be a safek tevel? Because dilma meikara, maybe initially, emar delo tefila. Maybe it wasn't really tevel in the first place. How is it not tevel? Because the Gemara says, ki rabbi Yoshaya, dam rabbi Yoshaya, ma'arim adam al tevaso. A person could play some type of game with his grains. Umachnisa b'motchala. We'll see what that means in a second. Kadeshetem behemto ochelas b'tura min ha-maiser. So there are a few different stages that require a person to take maiser. When does something become tevel? When you finish all the work in the field and then you put it into a pile in a basket, bring it into your house. But let's say you didn't. Part of the process in the field was to thresh it, to step on it, to crush it. So here they didn't crush it. They didn't do the threshing. They didn't do the dush of it. It stayed in the moat. I don't know how they define moats in English, but they. The shaft is still on it, which means they didn't do it through the dush. The dush wasn't there yet. So since the process wasn't complete, it's not chayv and meiser. It still is considered tevel. Rather, it's not tevel yet. Maybe it's suffic tevel. We don't know whether he did this or not. So since in the first place, we don't know whether he's chayv and tevel, and maybe he circumvented the need for making a tevel, so therefore it's initially a suffic, and then a suffic whether he took meiser, and for that reason, we're makel that you're allowed to eat the fruit of the chavar shemes because it's suffic and tevel, but it is not a kasha to the klal. That klal still stands, ein safek motze midei vada. Gemara now says, last three lines here of Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, v'ein safek motze midei vada. Is that really true? Again, this klal, we're going to challenge this from another case. V'atanya. The Braisa says that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ma'isa b'shifchaso shel metzik echad. A shifcha of a certain person, a Jew, Rashi says, b'rimon, lived in a place called Rimon, shetila nefel abor. She had a stillborn and she threw it into a pit. Uba Kohen, a Kohen decided to come see, inspect, hits its bow to look into the pit. Leida im zacharu im nekevahu, to know whether or not the child was a boy or a girl. What was a Kohen doing? What was the need to check whether a boy or a girl? Look at Rashi. Rashi in the top says, Leida im zacharu im nekeva, the Kohen karov o mibdei habayisaya. The Kohen really should not have inspected because he's putting himself into a dangerous position of becoming tameh. But the Kohen was a relative or someone in the household, so he felt the need to figure out what was going on, so he looked into the pit. They sent this Kohen Sham Lahagid Li'imo to tell the mother, the Shifcha, Mativa, what exactly was the gender of the child? V'tavchin bein Tumas V'taros Zachar Le'imei Tumas V'tara Nekeva. Because we know for a boy who's born, the mother, even the Shifcha Kananis, she has to take on all the dinim of a Jew. Whatever women are chayvin, a Jewish woman, so to a Shifcha Kananis is chayvin. So when a woman gives birth to a boy, she's tummy for 7 days, and then the next 33 days are Dmei Tara. It's any dam she sees is tower, and if she gives birth to a girl, she's tummy for the first 14 days, and the next 66 days, she's tower, even if she sees dam. So it's very important to know, for tuma v'tara reasons, what exactly was the gender of the child. And the Rashi says further, v'lo nizkar also kohen al hazar s'lenevesh loitama. He didn't remember about this isser, the pasuk in Embor, that a kohen can become tummy. That's why the kohen is looking. V'hitzit bo b'bor, says Rashi, looked into the bor, v'hanefel l'roi, he didn't see the nefel, v'tiharo me'amahel ahameis. He didn't see anything. And therefore, even though he was leaning over the boar, there's no mace he was able to see. He remains tower. Had he seen the mace, he would have been Tumas mace. So the Gemara again says, the Kohen came, top line of the Gemara, Uba Kohen, v'hitit bo leida im zachar uhu im nekevu. Uba maise lefnei hachachamim v'tiharuhu. They said he's tower. V'pnei shechulda ubardulis mutsuyanin sham, because they have weasels and other animals that are there, and they take away the flesh, the baby, the human remains. and therefore there's no chashash of tumas ames. So v'ha hacha vaday hitil. Here it's a case of vaday. There definitely was a nefil. The shifcha through the nefil. There definitely was a tumas ames there. At the safek giraruhu v'safek lo garu. We don't know whether an animal a chulda took it away or not. Is this not a case of a safek is motzi mide vaday? There was vaday tuma there, and safek whether it was taken away. So we see that a safek can be motzi vaday. So Gemara says no. Hahu shaisa. Sorry, I finished a line. Again, Safek Garua, Safek Lo Garua, Vahai Shaita, Vakasi Safek, Motsi Mide Vadai. And Gemara says, Lo, Tema Shetilu Nefil Abor. Don't say it was a case where a stillborn was Vadai. A Nefil was Vadai thrown to the boar. Ela Ema Shepilu Kimin Nefil Abor. She had something came from her body that looked like a Nefil, but doesn't necessarily mean it was a Nefil. You remember the Sugyas in Masechas Nida, those who learned in Daf Yomi last cycle, there are many things that could come out of a woman's body that may not be an actual Nefil. V'havi Safek V'Safeku. So in the first place, she may not have had a Nefil. It was a Safek in the first place whether it was a human or not a human, or whatever else it may have been. And therefore, it's a Safek whether, even if it was a human, whether the Chulda took it away. So it's a Safek in a Safek case. But the Gemara says, how could you suggest that it was a Safek whether it was a Nefil or not a Nefil? Didn't the Braisa clearly state it was definitely a Nefil? The Braisa says the Kohen was inspecting whether it was a boy or whether it was a girl, but it was a vade, a human, a vade, a child. So Gemara says, no, katani hachi kamar. This is what it means to say, hachi kamar. Leida im ruach epila, we're adding in another Safek there. Whether it's a ruach, which means nothing of any sort, no neshama to it, it was just, blood or whatever else it may have been. Im nefil hepila. So no, the first Safek, whether it's a ruach or whether it's nefil, and even if it was a nefil, vim timsalomar nefil hapila leida im zachahi vim nekevi. So it was really a Safek in the first place, whether it was a nefil, and therefore the Safek of a giarua is able to undo the Safek of it being a nefil in the first place, not a kasha for the klal of ein Safek motzi midevada. The Gemara says, alternatively, ibai seima hasam vada. Maybe it's really that case is a vada case. Bivadahu, what's a vada case? Kevin de chulda ubardus mitsuyan sham vada gerua. It's not a suffix whether they were there. Vada, if there's a human remains in the pit, vada, the animals are going to take it away and no chashash there at all. And nihi de shira mishaira migra mias vada garim ahushaita. Even though you're right that maybe the animals don't eat everything away. Going back to the beginning of Amun Aleph, that the chulda leaves behind some chametz, and maybe it leaves behind some basar. We initially had said on Amun Aleph, they don't leave behind basar. Now the Gemara says, no, even basar might leave around. But even though it might not eat every part of the human, it's going to definitely drag the human away from the pit. So in other words, in the pit itself, the chulda dragged the nefil away from the pit into its home somewhere. Fine, so it's no longer, and when the kohen looks over, there's definitely no tumas meis. But in Echanami, in the home, in the cave, or whatever they live in, the chulda, there might be some human remains. He may not eat everything. In the end of the day, legabe hilchos tuma, there's nothing left in the actual boar where the coin was hanging over.
What's the purpose of the coin looking?
He was just trying to know if it was zachor in a cave. That's all the Rashi says on the top there.
The chulda already dragged it away, no?
He didn't know. He didn't know that. He may have thought he came on time. He ran over there quickly. He thought maybe he'd see it. And it was too late at that point. The chulda definitely took it away. The Gemara now says, so fine, that's the end of the conversation of Ein Safek Motzi Midevade. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about the klal of whether we're choshesh a chulda takes it away or not. The Gemara had said, Umi aminan ein choshishin shema gara chulda. We had said in the Mishnah, on the Amun Aleph, that if you inspect a certain room, we're not choshesh the moment you turn around, a chulda brought some chametz and left it around. Ein choshishin gara chulda. But we see from the following that we are choshesh, that perhaps a chulda comes and takes away chametz. Where do we see this? V'ha katani, seifa, the seifa, which is the Mishnah later on, mash b'shayer, whatever you, the human, whatever you left after, you did bedika, we don't get rid of all the chametz, we hide the chametz away. So the Mishnah advises us to hide the chametz. Mash b'shayer, yanichenu b'tzina, whatever we have left over after doing bedika, the rolls of bread or challah, whatever you have, yanichenu b'tzina, put it somewhere hidden, so lock it up in a cabinet somewhere, shalei yitzarech bedika acharav, so you shouldn't have to check it. Why do you need to check it? Shouldn't we be choshesh that the chulda is going to come and take the bread? So by the Mishnah, Amun Aleph, we said, the moment you check something, we're not choshesh, the chulda is going to come and leave bread. But now the Mishnah later on tells us, when you finish the inspection, hide your bread, because maybe a chulda will come and take the bread and make a mess of it. So are we choshesh that chuldas make a mess of your bread, or are we not choshesh? The Gemara has a very interesting chilek at first, which gets quickly rejected. The Gemara says it depends which day it's referring to. Meaning what? Amar Bai says, lo kashya. Ha barbasa, ha b'shloshasa. Depends, it's the 14th of Nisan or the 13th of Nisan. B'shloshasar the shchiach rifse bekulabate lamitane. When it comes to the 13th of the month, where there's plenty of bread in all the houses, the chulda says there's no need for me to take some bread and hide it. I could go to Reuven's house, Shimon's house, Levi's house. There's plenty of bread going around on the 13th of Nisan. However, the case of Barbasa, delo shchicha rifse, where no one has bread left, very little bread left, bekulabate mitzna, there the chulda has to hide it. So when we are choshish to hide the bread, that's when it's in the 14th, when no one has bread around. The chulda smells out, there's no bread, I got to start running through cabinets and finding my bread. On the 13th, there's plenty of bread, there's no need for chuldas to start trying to hide and leave crumbs here, leave crumbs there. That's the difference between the 13th and the 14th, the Gemara says. Gemara says, how could that be? Amar Rava, v'chi chulda neviyahu? Is he a neviyah? Which itself is funny, because one of the neviyahs, the said neviyahs, is chulda, but the Gemara says it's chulda, the weasel, is the chulda actually a neviyah? Is she neviyah? How could she know? The yada ha'inna, our be'asar, that he knows the 14th, v'lo afa ad orsa, u'mishara b'tamra, the chulda knows, oh, it's the 14th, I know there's no chametz left, and he knows they're not baking chametz later on in the day, so he has to start hiding things out. He doesn't know what's going on in the humans and the calendar to know whether he should be hiding bread or not bread, the 14th and the 13th. So that's a very strange havamino. So the Gemara says, no, you know the answer is, Ella. The Gemara says, Ella Amarava Mash Mishayar Yanichena Bitsina Shemetatil Chuda Bifaneinu V'yetzarach Bedik Achav. That's the case. I'll read that in one more time. I'll say it outside. If you don't see a chulda, we're not choshish. We're not choshish of a chulda coming. You check a corner, you check a house, you check a room, it's good to go. Lock it up, it's closed. We're not choshish of chulda. If you see a chulda, then that's a question. If you see a chulda, then you have to be suspect that maybe he left some crumbs here. So when the Mishnah later on says, when you do the bedika, hide the remaining chametz. Why hide the remaining chametz? Because maybe you'll see a chulda with the bread in its mouth and you have to be choshish and start inspecting. Maybe you'll see it. But not that he will actually do it if you don't see it, only if you actually do see it. The Gemara is giving you a recommendation. If you don't want to get involved in any problems, just hide your chametz. Because if you don't hide your chametz, maybe a chulda will come in front of you and make a big mess. You have to do the bedika all over again. That's what it's saying. But if you don't see a chulda, everybody agrees we're not choshish. The chulda is going to leave some chametz behind. And the Gemara says, Tanya, I'll read that inside one more time. Ela Amar Rava, Masha Mishayar Yani Chana Bitsina. Whatever you have left over, you should hide it. Shema Tatil Chuda, maybe the Chuda is going to take it Bifaneinu in front of you. And then Vietzarach Bedika Achrav. Then everyone would agree if you actually see the Chuda with the Chametz, you would have to do a Bedika. Tanya Kavasa de Rava, there's a Brisa that supports this reasoning of Rava. Hirotze Lechel Chametz Achar Bedika. You want to eat Chametz when you finish the Bedika? You want to have some after the night of the Bedika? Ketet Yasa, what should you do? Mash Mishayer, whatever you have left over, Yani Chenem Betzina, hide it somewhere. Shelo Tavo Chuda, so a weasel shouldn't come. Betito Bifaneinu, and take it in front of your face. Yetzarech Bedika Achar. So that's why, again, the Mishnah advises us later on to hide it, lest the Chuda come and take it. Now, Rav Meri says there's another instance, actually, they don't argue, but he gives another instance when you would have to actually do another bedika. One instance is what we just said. If you see a chulda with the chametz in its mouth, you definitely have to do another bedika. And the second option, the second way when you would have to do this, Rav Meri Amar, Gzeira Shema Yaniach As Eser Vimatze Teisha. This happens. People put around 10 pieces of bread. They end up finding only 9 pieces of bread. They make a whole mistake. That means in that case, Vada Yechulda took it, even though you didn't see it, but you're clearly missing one of the challahs. So then clearly an animal took it, and you have to do a bedika another time, even though you don't actually see the chulda. So it's highly recommended, just a good friendly advice, when you have the kids to hide the chametz in my house, we make sure to write down which room they're in, so we don't forget anything. It's everything's accounted for, and when it's finished, therefore we have no concern of having to redo the bedika. Okay, the Gemara now says, a completely different topic now, but related to Suffolk and Rove cases. So the Gemara says as follows. Teisha tziborin shamata ve'echad shachametz. Let's say you have a pile, 9 piles of matzah, and you have 1 pile of chametz. V'asa achbar, a mouse of some sort, comes of a shakal, v'lo yadinan I matzah shakal, I chametz shakal. He comes and takes something, either the chametz or matzah, you don't know. Now, it's not so relevant for the Ashkenazi matzahs, but for the Sephardi matzahs, those who have the real Sephardi matzahs, where they're very thin, they look very much like the chametz. They're like lafas almost. So for us, like a chulda with a matzah is probably unlikely, but a chulda with like a lafa, like a matzah lafa, would be more likely. So you see you have a pile of chametz, 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. And he takes from one of them. You don't know if it's chametz, you don't know if they are matzah. They look pretty much the same. So you don't know what to do. So the Gemara says, so what's the case? Are you choshesh that maybe it's chametz, you have to do everything all over again? Or no, it's a 9 out of 10, it's likely it's matzah, and there's no chashash that you have to do everything all over again. There's no need to do another bedikah. And the Gemara says, hainu teisha chanuyas. That's the same exact case as the 9 stores. What 9 stores is he referring to? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, hainu teisha chanuyas, dekaimalan behulakamei, we're going to learn, dechol kavua, shenala mimakam kavua, Ein holchen bo acharov el harehu kemechsa mechsa b'savik Yisrael lechomer. Let me explain. There's a klal. Even though normally we follow rov, rov would dictate that rov in this case is matzah, and there should be no chashash of any chametz here. But there's a klal. Whenever something's kavua, something is set and established as a place where it is, ko kavua, we assume it's not rov, it's mechsa mechsa. It goes 50-50. Now, even though statistically it doesn't make any sense, but that's based on a pasuk Rashi refers to later on, a pasuk that proves this point, that if a store is a kavua, we assume 50%, 50%. So even though 90% would tell me it's matzah, but since they're set piles, and he took it from there, so therefore we have to assume 50-50, safek deraisa l'chumra, it's chametz, you have to do another inspection. Yeah. Excellent. So look at Tosa, very good. The Tosa asks this question, hainu teisha chanios. Tosa says, lefi mashe perse kundras, linu bedika lo nihara. It doesn't make any sense. How could you compare the 10 stores? The store, by the way, is referring to buying treif meat and kosher meat. That's what Isser Derayis says, Andy referred to. The case of Bedika is only a chim medirbanan. We said that Bedika is only a chim medirbanan. How do you equate the din of dirbanan to the din of chanuyos of Derayisa? Heichi maisi raya miteshim chanuyos tavi sveika Derayisa. Vazin lechumra. However, hacha by the Bedika is sveika only medirbanan. So Tosis answers, miu yeshomer da'ayri kigon shalom bittel. He didn't do bittel. If he had done bittel, Einach and Ami, this would be a din derabanan. But he didn't do bittel, so the chi of bedika now becomes an iser or chi of deraisa, and it can be equated to the din of 9 chanuyos, and whereby you could equate the two of chol kavua kemechsa mechsa dami, and there'd be a chi of to do a bedika. Now let's say something else happens. The Gemara says, pirish. Let's say a piece of bread from the pile came apart, separated from the piles. So you have a piece of bread. You know, you have the 10 piles. 9 of them are matzah. 1 is chametz. And then a piece of bread or chametz or matzah was away from the piles. So that's called pirish. V'asa achbar, and achbar came, v'shakal took it. So now, what's the assumption? Do you have to assume, in this case, it should be no different than the previous case. You would have to do a full badika. And the Gemara says, no. Hainu sefer, that's the sefer of that mission of the 9 chanuyos. Ditnan, teisha chanuyos, kulan mochen basar shchuta, v'achas mocharis basar, nevela. You have 10 stores. 9 stores, you know, they all have the, they look the same. The same packaging, the same bags, or maybe these days no bags at all. So you come out with the same packaging. So 9 stores and kosher, 10, one of them is a nevela. For lokach me'achas men, you walked into one of them, and you came out, and you forgot which one you bought it from. The din is, en yodem eze ben lokach, sveiko aser, tzafek aser. You don't know which store you went inside. You would have a thought that maybe 9 out of 10, it's a kosher store. No, since you don't remember, it's kavua, mechsa, mechsa, dami, 50-50, you have to go to chumrah, based on exeris akasim. But let's say benimsa, let's say you find, it's very counterintuitive. Let's say you find on the sidewalk, you see a package of meat, right? Completely sealed, there's no indication where it came from. It came from one of the 10 stores here. So you would think, you should certainly not buy this, pick it up. It's covered, it's clean, it's all protected, and it's someone left it there, it's a yish, so you could pick it up now. Halach acharov, and you'd actually be able to keep it. Because when it comes to benimsa, when it comes to it separated from the party, from the kavua, it has a din of rov, and the rov would dictate it's called the parish, it's called merua parish. Anything that comes away from the set stores, the kavua stores, are called the parish, merua parish. We assume rov is kosher, and therefore you're allowed to actually eat it, even though it wasn't found inside the store. So it's very counterintuitive. You would have thought maybe the opposite, but this is the cloud when it comes to a suffix and rov. So too by the chachamis. If the achbar grabbed it from the pile, that's like buying it from the store itself, it's kemechsa, mechsa, dami, and aser. If the achbar found it inside, separate from the piles, that's pirish, that's called the parish, miru parish, you would actually not have to assume it's chametz, and you would not have to do a bedikah. Let's finish off the Gemara now, Amar Beis. The Gemara says, shnei tziborin, echad shel matzah, ve'echad shel chametz. Let's say you have 2 piles. 1 pile is matzah, 1 pile is chametz. And so the Gemara says, lefneyem shnei batim, and in front of them, there are 2 houses. Echad baduk, ve'echad ena baduk. One house is inspected, completely clean of chametz. The other house is not inspected. It needs a bedikah still. And again, in front of the house, there are 2 piles, one of matzah, one of chametz. What happens is, v'asa shnei achbarim, 2 different achbarim come. Echad shaka matzah, ve'echad shaka chametz. One takes from the pile of matzah, one takes from the pile of chametz. And they go into a house. Each one goes into a separate house. Lo yadinan hei lahai ayl vehei lahai ayl. You don't know which one went into which. Is it possible that the achbar brought the chametz into the clean house, you have to redo everything, or maybe no, he brought the chametz into the dirty house, in which case you would not have to clean the other house. So what do you assume in this case? So Gemara says that's also another mission we have. Hainu shtei kupos, that's the case of the two boxes. What are the two boxes? Tzan, this is a mission that appears in Maseches, this is a Tosefta and Trumos actually. It says, shtei kupos, acha shel chulun, v'acha shel truma. You have a box of chulun, and you have a box of truma. Ulefneim shnei son, echad shel chulun, v'echad shel truma. And you have, separate from that, another basket, one of chulun and one of truma. V'naflu elu toch elu, and the basket falls into one basket into one box. So do you assume chulun goes into chulun and truma into truma, or do you assume chulun goes into truma and the truma go into chulun? Now, what's the relevance? The big issue is now my chulun has truma mixed together. I can't eat it. I can't sell it. I need to give it to a kohen only. That's a big nafkamina. So what do you assume in this case? So the Mishnah says v'naflu elu toch elu mutarin. It's all the chulun allowed to remain mutar to a zar, to a non kohen. Shani Omer, I say I can make the following assumption. Chulin l'toch chulin, naflu, u'chuma l'toch chuma naflu. So just like I could assume that chuma went to the chuma, there's a certain magnetic field, if you will, that chuma goes to the chuma, and chulin goes to chulin, so too I assume that the chametz of the achbar went to the dirty house, and the matz of the achbar went to the badek house, and everything's going to remain fine. So Gemara says, wait a second. Eima dar minan sha'ani omri, I can say such a thing by chuma. That makes sense, because that's referring to b'chuma b'dirabanan. Why is it b'dirabanan? Rashi says in Amud Aleph, on the top of Yudamud Aleph here, b'sman hazeh. Bisman is that chuma is only a chiyah midirbanan. So my midirbanans, I could do what's called tolan. This is called tolan. Tolan means I'm saying, I'm assuming that happens. I could to hang my hat up on that. So I could hang the fact that the chuma went to the chuma and the chulun to chulun, because chuma in the first place is only midirbanan. Bisman is that. But chametz is an isa deraisa now. But chametz deraisa, mi amrina, will we say this? That you could assume by a chametz isa midiraisa to Tolan as well, that the chametz went to the chametz house and the matzah went to the badek house? That's hard to say that by deraisa. And the Gemara says, "Atu bedikas chametz deraisa." Is it really deraisa? Derabanani, because the deraisa bebitul ba'almasagile. If he does a bittul, bittul is enough to accomplish the requirement of the deraisa level. Therefore, bedikas only chiyum derabanan. So the chiyum bedikas derabanan. Therefore, you could also apply tolan by the case of chametz and matzah. Okay, we will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.